Jambo.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen. If you ain't noticed, we are now trying to get these to you 2 times a week. But this is the show where we give you a little bit of information about things that you can get through any particular digital medium of any kind that has a screen on it. And we'll let you know whether or not it's worth wasting your time and your energy. We waste our time and our energy and our brain power so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PacSync through the Freedom Train Network. You can find us at www.freedomtrainradio.com or on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music, or wherever you choose to get your podcast from. Even if one of those places just so happens to be the Freedom Train Radio app, you can find it in the Google Store, not on iPhones, on iTunes just yet. But you can find it in the Google Store. If you're an Android user, type in Freedom Train Radio. We are in the beta stages. That means we are looking for people that are going to download the app, test it out, and let us know what they think about it. Be sure to head to the website and your favorite podcast place and give us a review. Talk to us. We like those things. And also be sure to check out our sponsors, PAX Inc. That's www.pactsinc.org. PAXinc.org to show some love and support for our sponsors. They are doing big things. PAX Inc. is a black activist and advocacy organization focused on developing the black community through a shift in culture, education, and economics. Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference that is aligned with the black community. That's the perspective. The things that we look at will be looked at with the racial component involved and with some lessons that can be used to improve the community should you choose to do so. Not all of the lessons, just some of them. During this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be looking at the Protect and Serve Act of 2018. We will be looking at what it says. I'm actually going to read it to you verbatim. It's not that long. Relax. We will be talking about why people feel it's needed, whether or not the statistics are there to support whether or not it's really needed, and who voted for it, of course. We will also be talking about what this means for the black community and some of the things we should be doing to continue to prepare and strengthen our community. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we will be talking about Protect and Serve. So amidst all the talk about immigration and human rights violations, Congress is always moving forward, both locally and nationally, and they're doing some crazy stuff here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm sure they're doing some crazy stuff wherever you're at. But with the narrative of police targeting gaining enough steam to basically be cemented as fact in a large portion of the country's mind, there is a bill that just recently passed the House and currently sits in the Senate. This bill will basically make any harm done to police officers a federal hate crime, basically. This marks a distinct shift in civil rights where people are no longer protected because they have been systemically oppressed for biological conditions or reasonings that they have little to no control over. But they are protected for the job they have, despite that job being under no systemic oppression and causing immense harm to communities and already being one of the most protected jobs in the nation. So I'm not even going to give you a summary or a synopsis of this. I'm just going to read it. It's not very long, but I think it's important that when we're talking about things like this with matters of the law, matters of new precedents, matters of changes, and the way that communities interact with law enforcement and the way that law enforcement interact with communities, it is important to not try to briefly summarize. Everything can't be briefly summarized. Some things just have to be dug into. And this is one of those things, as I think most bills are, but this one is short enough and is definitely qualified. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And this is H.R. 5698, and it passed the House, and it is now in the Senate, has been in the Senate since May 17th, 2018. An act to amend Title 18, the United States Code, to punish criminal offenses targeting law enforcement officers and for other purposes. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled. Section 1, short title. This act may be cited as the Protect and Serve Act of 2018. Section 2, crimes targeting law enforcement officers. A, in general, Chapter 7 of Title 18, United States Code, is amended by adding to the end the following. 120, and there are already 119 items, so this would be the 120th item that's added to Chapter 7, Title 18. Crimes targeting law enforcement officers. A, in general, whoever in any circumstance described in Section B knowingly assaults a law enforcement officer causing serious bodily injury or attempts to do so, one, shall be imprisoned not more than 10 years, fined in accordance with this title, or both, and two, shall be imprisoned for any term of years or for life, fined in accordance with this title, or both, if A, death results from the offense, or B, the offense includes kidnapping and or attempt to kidnap or an attempt to kill. So if you harm a cop, then you can get a sentence not more than 10 years and fined or both. If you harm a cop and that cop loses their life, or they say that you attempted to kill or kidnap the cop, or you actually did kidnap the cop, then you can be imprisoned for life and fined. B, circumstances described. For the purpose of subsection A, the circumstances described in this subparagraph are that, one, conduct described in subsection A occurs during the course of or as a result of the travel of the defendant or the victim, A, across a state line or national border, or B, using a channel, facility, or instrumentality of interstate or foreign commerce. Two, the defendant uses a channel, facility, or instrumentality of interstate or foreign commerce in connection with the conduct described in subsection A. Three, the connection of the conduct described in subsection A, the defendant employs a firearm, dangerous weapon, explosive or incendiary device, or other weapon that has traveled in interstate or foreign commerce. Four, the conduct described in subsection A interferes with commercial or other economic activity in which the victim is engaged at the time of conduct, or B, otherwise affects interstate or foreign commerce, or five, the victim is a federal law enforcement officer. Certification requirement. One, in general, no prosecution of any offense described in this section may be undertaken by the United States, except under the certification in writing of the Attorney General or a designee that A, the state does not have jurisdiction, B, the state has requested that the federal government assume jurisdiction, C, the verdict or sentence obtained pursuant to state charges left demonstrably unvindicated the federal interest in protecting the public safety, or D, a prosecution by the United States is in the public interest and necessary to secure substantial justice. 2. Rule of construction. Nothing in this subsection shall be construed to limit the authority of federal officers or a federal grand jury to investigate possible violations of this section. D. Definitions. In this section, 1. Law enforcement officer. The term law enforcement officer means an employee of a government or public agency who is authorized by law, A, to engage in or supervise the prevention, detection, or the investigation of any criminal violation of law, or B, to engage in and supervise the detention or the incarceration of any person for any criminal violation of law. 2. State. The term state means a state of the United States, the District of Columbia, or any commonwealth, territory, or possession of the United States. B. Clerical amendment. The table of sections at the beginning of such chapter is amended by adding at the end the following new item. 120. Crimes targeting law enforcement officers. Passed the House of Representatives May 16, 2018. So, this makes the police a protected class along the same lines as historically oppressed people. The states have been attempting to pass legislation that made police a protected class for the last few years, which you think would be absolutely absurd given the nature of the public discourse over the past 6 years. And yes, Trayvon Martin was killed 6 years ago. For those of us that have been engaged in trying to change things before that, well, you already kind of expected this, so, you know, just relax and keep it moving. This marks, however, the first time, in my mind anyways, that any profession would legally have civil rights protections. And not even in my mind. This is the first time. And essentially makes negative activity towards the police a hate crime. Now understand what that is, right? A profession would have civil rights protections, and any negative activity towards that profession would be considered along the same lines as a hate crime. That might not be a big deal for some of you, but let me dig into that just a little bit. See, protected class designations are intended to protect those groups of people who are have been historically oppressed, marginalized, and have a difficult time because of prejudice and negative bias and getting justice in the first place. It is an added penalty to discourage oppression and make those who have been historically oppressed feel safer, to mend the damage and ease the social and cultural ills of history. And that's me trying to simplify things without getting into a show on social and cultural development or societal bonding or any of that other stuff. So with that in mind, it should become fairly apparent how insensitive it is and how much of a slap in the face it is to oppress people, especially black people, to see the group of people that have been doing the killing, ambushing, brutalizing, and raping getting added protection. Not only are cops the most protected profession in the country to begin with, but there is no shortage of difficulty in getting a conviction when one of them is harmed. Cops, killers, by and large, get convicted. Meanwhile, those that are killed by cops, by and large, are fucked. So some people may be asking, what is the angle being played that even makes this acceptable to those officials that are supposed to be following the will of the people that elected them? And that isn't a question for the more cynical of us that would be like, they are doing the will of the people that elected them. That's for those of us who are like, I don't want this. Why is my politician doing this? Well, the angle is that in 2015, a report titled Ambushes of Police, Environment, Incident Dynamics, and the Aftermath of Surprise Attacks Against Law Enforcement was published by the Community Oriented Policing Services, or COPS, CNA, and the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the IACP. And let me stop. I'm going to stop right here. And I want to read an interesting excerpt from the intro to the report written by the director of COPS, C-O-P-S. Dear colleagues, every day, law enforcement officers serve this great nation with distinction by protecting all of us from harm. That protection, however, comes at great risk to the men and women who courageously don the uniform and wear the badge. Too many times each year, we bear witness to the tragic murder of a police officer or deputy in the line of duty. We are outraged by the heinous act of the perpetrator and inspired by the selfless acts of the lost hero. Yet, we often fail to take into consideration the long-term effects such exposure to risk can have on our own public safety officers. We know that the murder of a police officer in the line of duty is an assault on the entire community. However, when that murder is a result of an ambush, it also attacks the very foundation of our democracy. I mean, come on, people. I'm going to read another excerpt. In addressing these threats, it reflects a core value of the U.S. Department of Justice, the health and safety of American law enforcement officers, which is not only our obligation to those who risk their lives for us, but also critical to the safety of us all. Now, nowhere in this does he talk about the ambushing that the police do. I mean, there was a 12-year-old girl. The police kicked in her grandmother's home, shot her in the head while she slept on the sofa, and then accused her grandmother of doing it. And then come to find out that they had kicked in the wrong door. Where is anybody talking about that ambush? And we could go on and on and on with stories and stories and stories. Those ambushes by the police officers, those don't constitute attacks on the very foundation of our democracy. Those don't constitute assaults on the entire community. And I understand the purpose of this report is to speak directly to police ambushing. But in this current climate, to produce something like this, worded the way it is, speaks volumes. These excerpts, in and of themselves, show an interesting level of focus on cop safety above all else, literally. But I'm not going to get too deep into the report. I'm not. That's a whole nother show. But what I am going to do is talk about how this report was used. And this report, because that's what I was talking about to begin with. This report that was released essentially showed that ambushes of law enforcement had ticked up slightly, and I do mean slightly, from roughly 200 per year in 2005 to about 250 per year in 2012. Now, overall, it's still on a downward trend. In the 90s, I think it was 91, it was over 500. And just how many people are killed in these ambushes? Well, over the past 12 years, there have been an average of 50 cops killed per year in what could be considered malicious ways, assaults, and intentional gunfire. Now, that's not to say, again, and I this report was on ambushes. And so I'm not just talking about ambushes. I'm talking about, period, roughly 50 cops killed on average per year for the last 12 years with either assault or intentional gunfire. So now, if you remember the show I did on BIE's Black Identity Extremists, well, this report was done before that report was. And both reports basically make similar arguments. Cops are under attack. And like that report, this report is equally BS in terms of a reason to enact any new legislation protecting cops. But here we have it. And that is the primary and only excuse for this legislation is this report and this false narrative. The false narrative that cops are being targeted and are under attack. And the false narrative that there is going to be some sort of uprising, especially amongst black people, to overthrow the cops. That was the foundation of the BIE report. This should be viewed as a blow, a political blow, a social blow, and a legal blow to the community. You see, for every one police officer killed each year maliciously, police officers kill more than 20 civilians. So far this year, there have been 31 police officers killed in the line of duty. Malicious reasons, the same ones I stated earlier, assault or intentional gunfire. Meanwhile, there have been 491 people shot and killed by police. And it's not even about Texas. It's not even about Democrats and Republicans, because 53 of those were killed in Texas, the Republican capital of America, and 52 were killed in California, the liberal mecca of America. And to make matters worse and paint the picture another way, according to a report published by the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health, an average of 55,000 years of life were lost due to police violence in 2015 and 2016. That is more than the years of life lost to pregnancy complications, Alzheimer's, various forms of dementia, nutritional deficiencies, and a whole host of other problems that we recognize as serious issues. HIV and high blood pressure steal an average of 145,000 years of life each year, to put it in perspective about how serious death cop killings are. And both of those are very serious and prominent issues on the verge, rightly so, of being considered national emergencies. So in the midst of all the violence and death, all the abuse and rape that various communities suffer at the hands of police officers, in the midst of the growing debate about policy and policing practices, and the recognized need for police reform and police training reform, in the midst of children and unarmed civilians being killed and filmed, and that film being broadcast all over social media and the news, Here we have the government opting to further protect, to offer further protection to police officers while doing absolutely nothing for those being brutalized by the police. And I don't feel the need to say that there are good cops, because they never feel the need to say that there are good black people. And if there were as many good cops as they say, roughly 1,000 people wouldn't be getting killed every year in America by those that they are educated to believe are there to keep them safe. This bill should concern us all. So in an earlier show, I spoke about the BIE report, the Black Identity Extremist report, and that report basically said that there was the FBI released a report saying that they had a concern that Black identity extremists, basically people who were proud of being black, were going to begin to target police officers. And this was based off of 6 incidents over 2 years. In which a black person that could be connected to Black Pride targeted cops. There was no distinction made between the various different types of black identities. There was no distinction made that would allow one to separate out someone that's just proud of being black from somebody that is an extremist. And we got into all of that extremist versus terrorism and blah, blah, blah. It was a very good episode. It was one of the longest. I think it was the longest episode I've ever done. And I think it was like 50 minutes. But we had that show that basically told police officers to look out for people that were proud to be black from the FBI. And then we come into this act that basically makes harming police officers a federal hate crime. On the Freedom Train podcast series, Joe and I had a discussion about whether or not America was in a police state. Bills and laws like this one make it hard to argue that we're not. Extremely difficult. Not only are we refusing to protect the people that need protection, but we are giving additional protection to those that are abusing everyone. To protect somebody, to give somebody federal class level protection, civil rights level protection, because of the job they have, should be utter and total nonsense, especially when you consider that this particular job is the one that has everyone up in arms right now. This particular job is the one that's beating people, dragging people out of their homes, killing women and children, unarmed people, choking people out, abusing people, raping people. This group is the group that we want to give additional protections to. And another problem, and this is off subject, but I'm going to say it. There are a lot of us running around saying that we don't love this and we don't love that. And we want to stand for this and we want to stand for that. The problem in America is that nobody really cares about anything anymore. Nobody even really cares about America. Because if they did, they would stop the bullshit and they would call America out. It's the same in the black community. People don't really care about the black community, because if they did, they would stop the bullshit and they would call black people out. Not out of a sense of anger or trying to shame, but out of a sense of trying to make things better and trying to get it right. And there just isn't enough of that. When you combine what's been happening with this and what is happening, you get a very scary recipe for black people in America. 382 members of the House voted yes to this bill, including some that were extremely critical of the bill, like New York Democrat Gerald Nadler, however you say his name. Only 35 people voted no, and 10 didn't vote at all. 24 Democrats and 11 Republicans voted no. Most of your favorite Democrats, for those of you that are liberal, voted yes to this. I saw Maxine Waters. She was on the no list. But so many people were justifiably critical of this and then turned around and voted yes. And you know why? Because police officers have unions, they have PACs, and they have other groups out there, and they play the political game. They don't just say, I voted and that's it. They lobby, they campaign, and they threaten political adversaries, would-be political adversaries, into acquiescing to their demands. They get what they want because they play the political game 365. Now, some would say that they also have the government protecting them because of the whole class argument and struggle and all that. And I'm not here to dispel that. That I believe in that. But what I am saying is that they play the political game 365. Go to your city council meeting, your city council board meetings, commissioner meetings, especially around budget time, and see who's there. Police department will always be there. Fire department will always be there. And various other city utilities will always be there. It's not just about the voting. It's about lobbying your representatives 365. It's about writing policy and demanding that they sponsor it and push it through. It's about telling them what you want in writing, having a plan to get it, and then forcing it down their throats until they give it to you. And if they refuse, getting them out of office. We don't play that game. And hopefully there will be some sort of defense mounted when this thing passes through the Senate. And there are grounds to say that it is unconstitutional under the Commerce Clause of the 14th Amendment, which essentially says federal Congress can only pass laws that directly affect interstate commerce, and this does not fall under federal jurisdiction. But that wouldn't be much solace because states have the power to pass these laws themselves, as it is their right to do as states. So in light of that, I say again that we need to get more politically involved. We need to get more economically involved. We need to get more socially and culturally and educationally involved with each other, with our communities. Our sponsors, PACS Inc., has some basic political information up on their website. It's a nonprofit, so they don't back, support, or anything like that, any political candidate, but they can and they do give basic political information. www.pacsinc.com.org. PACTSINC. And they will be adding a rating system for politicians after this coming 2018 midterm election. And if you want to help out with that, go to the website and volunteer, as they also want to create comprehensive political curriculums for the Black community. We have got to begin to play the game of politics the right way. Far too often, we give people credit for what they say, and then we don't pay attention to what they do. That's why I spoke about all of the Democrats that were overly critical, justifiably critical, excuse me, of this legislation, and then voted yes to it. They're getting all of the social political points from both sides. The liberals are saying, good job, you stood firm. And the conservatives are saying, yeah, you voted with us. That should not be happening. We've got to start playing these games correctly. These are team sports, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a solo rodeo. You cannot individualize YOLO me, whatever, life. It does not work like that. We've got to begin to play the games of economics and social engineering. We need to start our own neighborhood watches and at the very least keep an eye on what's happening in our community. I mean, I don't really have anything new to say that we should be doing, because what we've been saying we need to be doing works for this scenario as well. This is definitely something that we need to be paying attention to. But let me know. Let me know what you think. Should we be paying attention to this? What do you think about this bill? Do you think there is anything that we could do or should be doing to prepare for this bill or to stop this bill maybe or whatever? Drop me a comment. Let me know. Share the show. Let's continue to grow. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you next week, bro, on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.